Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the defending champion, LA Rams. And, I was asked earlier on in the offseason, what are the better situations out there? And I said, honestly, you start looking at this and you think, all right, well, what do you want? Right? What do you want in terms of whether it's fantasy production or whether it's, team trajectory going forward, stable play caller, stable coaching staff, good front office, right? You want the good front office, good coach, good play caller, right? It's really nice when the good coach and the good play caller are the same person, right? But good front office, and you want a good quarterback, right? And they basically have that. Right. And that, what did they do in this offseason? They locked that down. Right. There was some thought about McVay going to the booth. I never bought that. I bought that as a negotiating tactic. Right. As a, hey, let's pay me more. Right. That's you. There's no real market in terms of other teams coming out and actually competing for him. Right. There's a history of the trades, but that's not what's happening. Right? That's just not the case. So you have to create some other sort of competition, and that's just what I always thought that was. I think over the nearest term, at least, I think there's good stability there. And what do? So they bring back McVay, they bring back Stafford, they supermax him, they give Kupp an extension, right? And that's basically your core, right? That's your core. And then, they bring back, they're built on stars. And, there's risk in that, but certainly there's ceiling in it too, and you saw it last year. So there's change in the pass score, right? So they trade Robert Woods, basically get off of his contract after that injury. That was one of the ones that we saw last year. We're like, hey, is this a situation where they can kind of move on from him if they want to? And that seemed contractually to make sense. And that's in fact what they ended up doing. Then they bring in Allen Robinson. And I think that's an even maybe a better Allen Robinson is probably a better investment for them for this offense than Robert Woods is. Right? I think he can do some more of the he can do some more of that that contested stuff. I think that you could see a situation like Stafford has good rapport with guys like Kenny Galladay in the past, right? So I think it is a stylistic change. So we'll see there how that works. I can't imagine Allen Robinson being used in the run game the way that Robert Woods was, but we'll see. OBJ still on the market, right? I think that there's there's some question about whether or not he'll be back. I think they have the money to get him back and could make that happen. We'll see how that ultimately unfolds. So that's really the changes there. You're getting Akers, a full healthy year of Akers. So that's good. Outside of that, Higbee and at tight end, right, there's not a ton there. You're looking at Darrell Henderson, but I mean, I think that the core of this is it's pretty defined and pretty tight. So, and we have proof of concept too. One thing I will say about this team is they're relatively neutral in terms of their play calls, in terms of their team decisions. They are 16th in plays per game at 61.7 last year. 17th in terms of dropbacks at 38.1. 13th in terms of designed run rate. And that gave them 23.6 designed runs per game. 19th in terms of designed pass rate at 58.6. 11th in terms of pacing. So pretty neutral, right? Just pretty across the board, pretty neutral in terms of what they want to do and want to be. So that's the that's, I think, the, if there's anything misunderstood about McVay, I think it's that, right? I don't think he does anything extreme. Right? I think the play calling is good. I think it, a lot of it works off each other, but I don't think it's that extreme. I will say they're probably more past friendly than, you know, a factor of them being non, of being, in the middle of the passing numbers, in the middle of the volume numbers. I think a factor of that is that they're ahead, right? So when you go and we go and steal our early down pass rate stuff, right? When we look at that and think, you know, what does that show us? Well, it kind of shows us in an even situation, you know, what would their preferences be, right? What would they like to do? In 2021, they were fifth in terms of that early down neutral passing script at 57.1. So again, that's on the aggressive side. You look back to 2020, it was 55.7, so a little bit lower. That's the last Goff year, and then before that, it was actually 56.1. So they have thrown on early downs, and so that's one thing I would point to and say, hey, they're probably a factor of them being relatively neutral in game script is the fact that they are good and they decide to, you know, they do throw it on early downs when it's most efficient. And look, we see third in yards per attempt last year, right? First in touchdown rate, so 6.8%. That's actually uncommon. We usually get someone up north of 7, 7.5, something like that in terms of touchdown rate. So it being below 7, I think, is a notable thing. I don't think that's, yeah, you might expect a little bit of regression, but I don't think it's this isn't like Lamar Jackson post MVP season. This isn't some of the stuff that we've seen where it's three standard deviations outside the average, right? This is kind of well within a standard, you know, range of outcomes. So, is there some thought that this might come back a little bit? Sure. But at the same time, I think overall it's a pretty good and pretty sound offense. And if things were to go worse for them as a franchise, I think that they could be better in terms of fantasy production. So 16th in terms of routes per dropback from the running back position, they were 30th in terms of targets per dropback. So if you were to point to a situation where Akers could get a lot better, I think that could be one. Second in terms of wide receiver routes per dropback, they were first in targets per dropback, 27th in terms of tight end routes per dropback, and they were 28th in targets per dropback for the tight end position. So under producing running backs, little production out of tight ends, and a massive receiving core. Fourth in terms of red zone volume, they were 28th in terms of red zone rush rate. So you look at some of that stuff with the touchdown rate. I think one of the next frontiers and some stuff will have to, this is probably a research project at some point. I don't know if it makes AOD, but it's definitely a research project, is to sort of look at red zone rush rate versus touchdown rate and, you know, it sort of link them up. Is it fairly obvious that some of the teams that are getting the high touchdown rates are getting them because of the decisions that they're making, right? They're throwing from the 2-yard line, Aaron Rodgers, right? And getting, I'm not going to say cheap touchdowns, but they're getting, you know, they're getting easy buckets. And I think that could be some of the stuff that maybe we'll understand more and more of when we see more expectation stuff and the like there. But I do think lots of red zone volume, lots of throwing in the red zone. That's a really good combination for receivers, for tight ends. So you like that quite a bit for Stafford as well. When they do run it down there, they run it with the running back. Sixth in terms of red zone rush rate at 88%. 27th in terms of expected running back points. That's not great. So again, is some of that the lack of touchdowns? Is that some of that the lack of reception stuff for the running backs, right? They're just underperforming their routes. That could be part of it. Is someone that is better at the running back position better suited to produce in this situation? maybe and probably, right? Is that Akers? We'll have to see, right? So that would be the, that would be the thing that I would look and see there, with how he integrates in this offense and what that means for them, particularly with a running back in the passing game. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Second, in terms of wide receiver expected points, 47.9, 27th in expected tight end points. Again, that mirrors, that mirrors where they rank in targets largely, right? It's not necessarily the perfect proxy, but it's a pretty good proxy in this case. Best PFF passes blocking. They're going to lose their left tackle. There's some movement again along the offensive line for them, but this is a team that has largely figured these things out, so I'm going to trust that they're going to do that. 10th in terms of run blocking along their offensive line. Some interesting stuff on Stafford. 10th in terms of attempts per game. Expected yards, 4,447. So 4,447 yards expected. He threw for 4,886, 4,886 yards. A robust increase over expectation. So that's really a good performance by him. Some of that's Kupp. I think a lot of that's probably Stafford too. So just for what that's worth, I think with Stafford, you're just getting extra ceiling on this offense. And they don't need me to – the Rams don't need me to say that, to know that, right? That's why they went out and got him. But I think a lot of what happened last year for them is – confirms what their decision was about the quarterback position, right? That they needed someone that could lift them higher. And I think Stafford was able to do that, right? Was he perfect? No. Could things have changed if a dropped interception was caught instead of being a dropped interception? Sure. But I do think overall, right, I think that they got the higher range of outcomes that they wanted. And eighth in terms of big time throw rate as well. So, This isn't just McVay scheming it up. It is Stafford doing a really good job of, I think, lifting the lid on this team. If anything, we could sort of point to, it's turnover-worthy plays, 3.7%. That's 11th highest out of 39 qualifiers. So you could point to that and say, like, hey, that's not necessarily great. I think largely in his career, he has had some of that, right? He has had some of that. Insert foot in mouth type stuff. It's notable that in 2020 he had this very similar big time throw rate, but a much lower turnover worthy throw rate, and was down basically 0.4 of a yard per attempt there. So he did go up in terms of NFL rating this year. This was his basically second best performance in terms of NFL rating, for what that's worth. He performed to basically his third best PFF passing grade of his career. That is ahead of last year. 2019 was his high watermark. 2013 was his high watermark, and then 2019 was the next one, with a valley in between. And so now he's back up, kind of pressing the top of that. But it's not necessarily, in terms of that type of production, the highest grades. Like, when you look at him, he's ninth in terms of PFF passing grade. Like, that's good, but he's not necessarily an elite player. I think you combined him with the situation, and it's pretty darn good. You look at dropbacks overall, right? Ninth. That's good. That's good. And I think he's proven. We know who he is, and we know he's got some longevity left, right? I always worry about him being the person that's going to retire early, but he just signs a big contract. I think that has assuaged me a bit. And honestly, the situation for him is better, and this isn't an Andrew Luck in Detroit types, or in Indy type situation like it was with him in Detroit. So Akers' return obviously is a big watch. We'll see there how that unfolds. Darrell Henderson is, I think, an interesting injury away guy who's probably disrespected. I think the counter to that, if I was going to play devil's advocate to my own point, it would be, hey, this is a guy who was in the backfield when the backfield was basically 27th in terms of expected points per game. Right, that's probably a fair critique of of Daryl Henderson. So, you know, I think he's probably in short sample sizes. Like, you're looking at an injury away guy. We kind of know what we're going to get. And he's the favorite for the job. So that's kind of what you do for him. Is he the most inspiring player in the NFL? He is not. Some good stuff here with Cooper Kupp. You might say, hey, listen, he's expected for some big-time regression. It's still really high. So expected for 14.4 touchdowns, he scored 16. Right, team that wants to throw it early and often in the red zone. Right, expected for 14.41 in terms of yards, he had 19.47. So really robust production. Expected for 2.31 yards per route run. That's a 95th percentile outcome. He had 3.12 yards per route run, a 99th percentile outcome. So even if you say, hey, he comes back to earth a little bit, right? He just can't be that good. Even if that's true, and it's really tough to have a career 2 years in a row. So like, I would generally agree with the premise that it's going to be tough for him to repeat this. Even if he comes back to the pack or comes back, reverts to towards his mean, it's still a really, really high mean. And so that would be the thing that I would point to with him. I still think he's a pretty good bet to be a high-end producer this year, assuming he stays healthy. He's targeted on 30.2% of his routes. I mean, it just became that fuels that really high expectation and the really high performance. 98th in terms of expected points per route run at 0.58, and 99th in terms of points per route run in PPR scoring at 0.70. So really awesome production there in terms of him. And it wasn't just bells and whistles. It was like true production. So really good there for Cooper Kupp last year. I do also want to mention that Allen Robinson, it was a huge drop off last year. And I mean, just compare the course of his career versus what happened last year. Just a couple of stats. Okay, just a couple of stats. 0.36 career points per route run. That's an 84th percentile type player. 0.10 points per route run last year. 8th percent seasonal outcome. Yards per route run over his career, 1.62, 82nd percentile. So again, top 20%, good, right? It's what we think of Allen Robinson. Really good player. 1.3 yards per route run last year. Dismal. Targets per route run, right? Percentage of his routes he's been targeted on in his career, 22.4. Really good number. Last year, 18%. So on his career, that's a 90th percentile type outcome. So when you think about Allen Robinson, you think, okay, well, which did he absolutely crater? And like, is that actually how, and just if you think he fell off a cliff and like he's just going to be totally nothing, is that actually what that looks like? Do you go from being a career 80% guy to being a 8% guy all of a sudden? And is that how those things happen? Color me skeptical on that. So I think there was probably more to what happened last year than just him being, you know, aging out or whatever. I think it was a bad situation, and he's going to get a rebound, right? And we've seen some rejuvenation. I will also say that I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. actually going to the Rams helped him much, if any, right? He's like the production that he had, when you actually look at it and take out the touchdowns, it was pretty much the same player that he was in Cleveland. He did get the McVay bounce, right? The McVay bump. I think that's what Colbert used to call it. Like, when people go on the Colbert show, you got the Colbert bump. This is what happens when wide receivers get in with McVay. They get the McVay bump. And I think that that's what happened with OBJ. So if Allen Robinson even performs somewhere in the middle, I think the perceived improvement might even be better than his actual improvement. So be on the lookout for a value spike for him early on would sort of be my thought with him. Tyler Higbee pretty much blends in, would be sort of the thought that I would have there with him. Yeah, he's basically a volume aggregator. And not at a particularly high volume either. So that's my sort of thoughts on the skill position players for the Rams generally. And lastly, we'll take a look at some of the cost stuff. So with Matthew Stafford, quarterback 13 in Dynasty. I think he's a value at that cost. Quarterback 12 in terms of underdog ADP. So getting a little bit of bump there, but I think largely it's a really, really high floor situation and a ton of security there. I think he's probably undervalued in both markets. Akers is at running back 15 in RDP, running back 19 at underdog. So again, you get that negative split. You don't love to see that. Darrell Henderson is running back 50 in RDP, running back 44 in underdog ADP. So that might signal, you know, some concern maybe about Akers or whatnot there. So yeah, definitely a spot to potentially think about there with him, and maybe the market liking him more in the redraft efficient market than in the dynasty market. So keep an eye on him for basically add-ons in your trades. Next up here is Cooper Kupp, and he is wide receiver 4 in terms of ADP for dynasty, and he's wide receiver 1 in terms of underdog ADP. Some spot here for Allen Robinson is wide receiver 38 in real draft position. He is 23 in ADP. So the market really likes him to bounce back. I think the dynasty market is probably a little too light on him would sort of be the thought there, especially in a situation where it's not super risky, right? Like, I don't think that's terribly risky there for him. You know, there's not whoever you're taking there isn't super certain anyways. So that would sort of be my thought there with him. I like him to bounce back. And I don't think last year doesn't look to me like it would be the end of his career or that he totally fell off a cliff. Tyler Higbee, 19th in underdog, and he's 24th in real draft position. So again, a slight bump in value, but yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a difference maker by any means from that range. And then you have Jacob Harris, and he's just a name I would just keep in mind because he saw a good bit of preseason bump. Preseason hype last year out of Rams media. He is basically going undrafted and 64th in underdog. I just put a star next to him just as a name to watch in terms of valuation because I think he's going to get talked up. He was like the darling of training camp last year. I covered them for Football Guys during training camp and he was their darling. So just keep that in mind. All right, that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance and we will talk again very soon.